Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
Let's start. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of death. Renee. Yeah. I'll sit here. Yeah. Okay. Sit right there. Okay. Topic is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Biblical verse is Mark chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. See, in the picture we see an older man who's receiving the sacrament. It's called the anointing of the sick. And the Bible says, so they went off and preached repentance. They drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. James chapter 5. Verse 14 to 16. The Bible says, is anyone among you sick? He should summon the presbyters, means the priests, of the church. They should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. What does the anointing of the sick give? The anointing of the sick is a sacrament that gives health to the
soul.
And sometimes body. By prayer and anointing with oil. For the Jewish people of the Old Testament, what was the relationship between illness and healing? Jewish people of the Old Testament understood illness as linked to sin and found that conversion led to healing. What is the cause of human suffering? Jesus himself indicated that pain and sickness are a result of original sin. For man's fallen nature is physically vulnerable to suffering. How can a person harm a person's soul? How can it help? Illness can harm a person's soul by causing him or her to become self-centered. Self-centered. Focusing on his own suffering and nothing else. And can cause resentment or despair. Can also lead him or her to greater maturity in accepting what one does not totally understand. What are two reasons Christ healed people? Christ healed people both to demonstrate that he was the Messiah and out of compassion for those who were suffering. Who instituted the anointing of the sick? The sacred anointing of the sick was instituted by Christ. By Christ our Lord, as a true and proper sacrament of the New Testament. Who administers the anointing of the sick? Anointing the sick is administered by a priest or a bishop. What are the principal elements? What are the principal elements of the anointing of the sick? The principal elements are the laying on of hands, prayer said over the person requesting the special grace, and the anointing of the forehead and hands with olive oil, called the oil of the sick, that has been blessed by a bishop. In an emergency, any vegetable oil may be used when blessed by a priest. If the hands of the person cannot be touched, the forehead is anointed, or in case of grave necessity, any part of the body may be touched. What two sacraments are usually done with the anointing of the sick? Why these two? Ideally, anointing of the sick is to be celebrated along with the sacrament of penance and reception of the Eucharist. First sacrament to be received should be confession, in which those in mortal sin seek reconciliation with God. The faithful should receive the Eucharist as preparation for the moment of passing over from this life to the next. For it is the seed of eternal life and has the power of the resurrection. What I want you to do before we finish the last part, turn over your sheet, the back of it. Okay, you have about a blank sheet at the very back. I want you to write down this. Dying in God's grace, or you can put in his friendship. So I'm going to give you a program so all of us can die in God's grace or friendship. If you follow this, you're all going to make it at least a purgatory and eventually to heaven. Okay? So write down first is this: live each day of your life as if it were your last. You do that. It could be. live each day as if it were last. No, we don't know we're going to die. Jesus says it'll come like a thief in the night. So we live each day as if it were last. Okay? So that means a Christocentric lifestyle. Christocentric lifestyle means is God-centered. You want to have God in the very center of your life. You have to do that. The opposite of Christocentric would be egocentric. Ego means putting me first. Okay. Next is, it mentioned the two worst things that could happen to us in life. Be aware of them. The two worst things that can happen to us. Okay, the two worst things that can happen to us. One is mortal sin. Mortal sin. Now, mortal sin, three conditions. Grave matter, something serious. Full knowledge. Full consent of the will. That's a mortal sin. Grave matter, it's something serious. Full knowledge, you know it anyway. Full consent of the will, you do it. But there's something even worse. Because if you commit a mortal sin, there's always hope until we die. There's always hope. But the second, there's no hope. It's the worst thing is to die in mortal sin. So if we die in mortal sin, we lose our soul for all eternity. Those are the two worst things. Mortal sin, we can do it. We're free. But if we die in mortal sin, then we've lost God for all eternity. That's the worst thing in the whole world. May God save us from that. One of the greatest writers in the world, his name is Dante, who wrote the Divine Comedy, in which you've got, he presents hell, purgatory, in heaven. The very entrance of hell, on the arch above hell, it says, all those who enter here abandon all hope. There's no hope. All those who enter here abandon all hope. It's hopeless. So let's try to avoid mortal sin at all costs. Now, if you do fall into mortal sin, that's number four. Now, all of you guys should try to go to confession at least once a month. At least once a month. So, frequent confession. When I say frequent, I would say at least every month. Now, we have this built into the program, the confirmation program, in the sense that every first Wednesday of the month, except this because the first Wednesday of the month was an Easter break, we have Mass for you guys, and there's almost always a priest in the confessional. So you can take advantage of that. You wait in line to go to confession, make your confession, and then after that, receive communion if the priest is not giving out communion. If not, it's up to you to ask your parents to take you to confession as often as possible. Now, this parish is a parish that probably has the most opportunity to go to confession maybe in all of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is the biggest diocese in the country.
That's right.
Okay. Why? Because here you've got six priests. One of them is off giving missions almost always, but you got five priests. So we hear confessions. Usually most parishes you hear confessions just 1 hour a week, Saturday from 4:45 to 5:45, that's about it. So it's 1 hour a week. Whereas here, we hear confessions every day at 8 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, and 5:30, and sometimes you have two priests hearing confessions at the same time. And Saturday, we hear confessions from 5:30 almost to 8:30, so 3 hours. But here you have a lot of opportunities. So take advantage of it. The other place you're just going to get 1 hour a week, and you might not even make it because you've got a long line. The priest has got 25 people. He's probably not going to get through the 25 people. What I try to do as a priest, I basically do two things. I preach and teach, and then I spend time in the confessional. I've already heard 2 hours today. Right after this class, I'm going to go there for probably another couple hours. No?
Right.
Yeah, and it's hard work, but it's worth it. Yeah, it's hard work, but it's worth it. And so I speak as a priest. It's hard work, but I know the effects of making a good confession. Is that you really feel good. You feel peace, you feel joy, you feel there's certain freedom. Whereas sin is a type of slavery. We all have our devils that we have to battle against. We all have our devils that, you know, we have our Gani, we have our devils that go after us. So how can we conquer these devils? By this frequent confession. So we're talking about how we can get to heaven. Now, the anointing of the sick that we're going to be finishing up in a couple of minutes is a really important sacrament. But it's a sacrament that many people misinterpret. Many people misinterpret the sacrament in such a way that they feel that only those who are going to die, right before they die, they receive it. That's partially right. But also, before undergoing an operation, you can receive the anointing of the sick. There's an operation, there's always a distant possibility that maybe you're not going to get out of it. The doctor gives you too much anesthesia, you're never going to wake up. So you want to make sure that you receive that sacrament. Women, before having their babies, will often ask for the anointing of the sick, especially if they've got a C-section. Okay? Elderly, people getting up in years, and their health is really declining, the anointing of the sick. So it's a sacrament that's not understood well. But you should take advantage of it. And you've got grandparents that are getting up in years. Probably some of you still have grandparents. Make sure that when they're very sick, you can call the priest. Many people go to Mexico to visit their relatives. What I ask them when they come back is, you know, your father is 85 years old and he's sickly. Did you bring a priest to the house? Something I'll say, I forgot about that. And say, why'd you forget about that? That should have been the most important reason for your visit. And the priest is not too far away. Ask the priest to go to the house. Or someone's in the hospital. Ask the priest to go to the hospital to give the anointing of the sick. Now, one of the effects we'll explain is this. And try never to forget this. If you're in the hospital and you're in coma, that means you're unconscious. If you receive the anointing of the sick, and you were to have wanted to go to confession, the anointing of the sick serves to wash away your sins. Nobody knows that.
No.
Well, now you know. Say, for example, you wanted to go to confession, but you couldn't get to the confessional. There was no priest available. And in the depths of your heart, you're sorry for your sins. So the priest places his hands on your forehead. He anoints, rather on your head, he anoints your forehead, anoints your hands. Then, in an invisible but very powerful way, God washes away your sins, so that you can go to heaven. And it could be that the salvation of some of your souls depends upon this class that we're teaching today. It could be. You know, maybe in 50 years, maybe you remember the talk that I gave you today, and you call a priest, and you're in coma, and maybe had a heart attack or a stroke, and you're about to die, and the priest anoints you, and then shortly after that, you die. Maybe you got to go to purgatory for a short time. If you go to purgatory, you're saved. But people feel that if the priest goes to give the anointing to the sick, then they're going to die. Not always the case. On the contrary, sometimes after it's received, the physical health is actually reinvigorated. Then one of the first times I gave this sacrament, I was in Argentina, and this older man, he was in his maybe late 80s, he fainted in church, so we rushed him to the sacristy, and I gave the anointing of the sick, and later, that same day, I looked out onto the street, and he was riding a bike down the street. Same day. You know? So God had actually restored his physical health.
That's crazy.
Well, it's God's power. It's God's power. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the other.
The power.
Power of God. Huh? Okay, so next is...
One number
10. We're not finished yet, okay?
One number 10.
We're going to be writing a few other ways that we can die in God's friendship. Die in God's friendship is receive Holy Communion. Receive Holy Communion. Receive Holy Communion. And that's called the bread of life. Bread of life. There's a really great promise of those who receive Holy Communion. And it's this. Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. That's a great promise. I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood, I will raise him up on the last day. So if you receive Holy Communion, often, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Now that's a great promise, isn't it? Let me tell you, when you graduate from high school, maybe even before, one temptation is you're going to give up the Catholic Church. And that's going to be a temptation. It's going to be a strong temptation. Well, I had to go to confirmation. My parents forced me. I received confirmation begrudgingly, kind of pushed into it a little bit. Now I'm going to college. And I'm no longer going to believe in that Catholic stuff. That's just for dummies, huh? Some of you are probably going to go to college. You're going to hear that. Sorry, I told you, okay? You're going to hear that. So just get ready. I mean, you get ready. You're going to hear that. When you go to college, they're going to say that that's something of the past. You know, or in the United States, the year 2018, why do you believe in something that your abuelita believed there in Mexico back in 1930? Come on, wake up and smell the coffee. That's for the ignorant people. Okay? That's for the dummies. They're going to hear that. So even though, you know, you're not in college yet, but you guys, you're in 8th, 9th grade, you may be in college in about 3 to 4 years. Get ready. That's for the ignorant people. It was the founder of modern communism was Karl Marx, who wrote Das Kapital, no? Just the opium of the people, just to calm down the people. Right now they're going because they have to go. Hopefully there's some goodwill on your part too. No? But once you're confirmed and you're 18 years old, you guys have to decide yourself whether or not you're going to keep practicing your faith or not. So right now, you know, you're kind of absorbing it, maybe somewhat begrudgingly or unwillingly, but hopefully there's going to be a change by this time next year, right, Renee? We hope there's going to be a change, right? Because, you know, your parents go to Mass, put your foot down. Your parents go to Mass, they bring you. But hopefully you'll go to Mass because you believe. You're not going to be forced, but you go because you really believe. So within the next year and a half, we're going to have to pray that you, for example, if you're going to be confirmed, you have to want to be confirmed. You're just being confirmed because your parents force you. It's not good enough. I don't think you should be confirmed. Do you want to be confirmed because you love God? You really want to love God, you want to give yourself to God, you want to live out your Catholic faith. Is that clear? So now I really believe that these next 2 years might be the most important years in their lives. Which you decide either you're going to follow God or you're not going to follow God. I would say, you know, from 14 to 17, those are years that are going to make you or break you. Make you or break you, these critical years, no? Critical years, no? I tell your parents in the formation classes, your kids, they're in danger, no? And once they get out of this, they go into the secular universities, into the corporate world, the United States, the work world, which is very aggressive. And I've got family members involved in it. Hey, the work world is tough. Very aggressive, no? Sometimes it's cutthroat. And you're somewhat sheltered now, but once you get out, you start to fend for yourself and you're working by yourself, you're on your own, you see life isn't as easy as you think. Life is sometimes pretty tough. But if you got God on your side, you're on the winning team. Okay? Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay, let's give you two more and then we'll go back and finish it. Is this. We want to get to heaven. Grow in prayer. Grow in prayer. You know, prayer is the easiest thing in the world, but it's the hardest thing in the world. Seems to be somewhat paradoxical what I said. Contradictory, huh?
Yes.
It's the easiest because you can pray whenever you want. You can pray whenever you want. You can pray wherever you want. And you can use whatever words you want. I mean, God doesn't really care if you're speaking a Shakespearean English or you're kind of just saying a couple of words, no? You use whatever words you want. Because prayer is like talking with a friend. So it's the easiest thing in the world. You can pray at any time, any place, any language, whatever words you want to say to the Lord. If you have an open heart, that's good enough. But it's most difficult because the devil tries to tempt us not to pray. he puts up all these obstacles. Pray later, you know, you're kind of wasting your time. You prayed before, God didn't answer you. Your prayers are useless. These all come from the devil. And the devil wins sometimes. So you should make this decision in these next 2 years. You're going to take your prayer life seriously. You're going to take your prayer life seriously. So at least every night you should spend 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, talk to God. Every night before you go to bed, talk to God for 3 minutes. And all of you should have in your room a nice big picture of Divine Mercy, or Our Lady Guadalupe, or Our Lady Fatima. You should all have a nice big picture. Because you have a big picture of Jesus and Mary that helps you to pray. Okay, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We believe that images are helpful. What do they say? They say that we're adoring images. It's a lot of baloney. Okay? And we're not adoring the image, but we honor what it represents. Right? No, we're not adoring it. That would be idolatry. That would be idolatry. But we honor what it represents. What it represents. So if there's anything that I insist upon is pray. And sometimes pray when you don't even feel like it. Every morning I start off my day praying about an hour and 15, 20 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Sometimes I'm very tired. Yeah? Sometimes I'm very tired. I'm very tired. But I'm going to pray anyway. It doesn't depend upon feelings. It's an act of the will. Okay? Feelings are fine, but they come and go. But it's not a good thermometer to base your spiritual life just on feelings. So, every night, hey, give God 5 minutes. We already talked about Jesus as your friend. Those different titles for Christ. Talk to him. Talk to him. And a very good way to pray is just rewind the day and kind of walk through what happened during the day, see where God was present during the course of your day, and see when maybe you ignored God. Or maybe you did something that was wrong. So rewind the film of your day and walk with the Lord through and see how God gave you this blessing. He gave you this insight. He gave you this consolation. And thank him for that. And see moments in which you were unfaithful to God and tell God you're sorry. They did it every night. Until they're confirmed, that'd be huge. And you do that the rest of your life, you're gonna make it to heaven. St. Augustine says this, he who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen? Yeah. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. I like that little poem, huh? He who prays well, lives well. Lives well, dies well. He dies well, all is well. You know, the good thief on the cross, why was he saved? Because he talked to Jesus at the end of his life, right? St. Alphonsus said the difference between the good thief and the bad thief is the bad thief cursed our Lord, the good thief talked to him and begged for forgiveness, and that opened up the gates of heaven for all eternity. Got that? Okay, so the last thing is this, is we want to die well. Maybe I don't like to hear this topic, but we want to die well. Okay? Is devotion to Mary. Devotion to Mary. And especially the rosary. Okay. Devotion to Mary, especially the rosary. You know, I prepared myself to die today already 100 times.
I need to learn this.
Did you know that you prepared yourself to die today already 50 times? Can you explain that?
The rosary is instead of Hail Mary.
Okay, well, what's the part of the Hail Mary where you're preparing yourself to die? Holy?
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for our sins. Yeah. So every time you pray the Hail Mary, you're actually preparing yourself to die. Pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. So if you get in the habit of praying the rosary every day, when you die, what's going to happen, the Blessed Mother is going to be right next to you to help you to renounce sin and to give yourself to God. Yesterday was kind of a tough afternoon because someone called in and said that one of the relatives she hanged herself, okay? There in Norwalk, no? And it's kind of tough. She hanged herself. She committed suicide, no? So I tried to console them, and I said in the life of the Curie of Ars, there was this man that threw himself off a bridge and committed suicide in the time of the Curie of Ars. And the Curie of Ars was like Padre Pio. He could kind of read minds. And he said, in between the bridge and the water, the guy made a perfect act of contrition and was in purgatory. So those 3 seconds when he's falling off the bridge, 3 seconds, he said, God have mercy on me. That was enough to get him into purgatory. So I was saying to the people, you know, maybe this person that did it, the very last second or 2 seconds of her life, she was able to say, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done this. Forgive me. So last night I was praying for that family member. But it's kind of sad, you know, someone that commits suicide, right? Because God gives life, right? And God takes life away. And life is never really so bad that God can't get us out of difficult circumstances. If we trust. Right? We have to trust. So if we do this, if we live each day as if it were a last, we have a Christocentric life, Christ in the center. If we try to avoid mortal sin, and if we do commit a mortal sin, we have frequent confession, get back to God's grace, we receive Holy Communion often, shortly before we die, and then we grow in our prayer life, and we have this devotion to Mary. This is an almost foolproof recipe for all of you guys going to heaven. So I hope you'll be able to put it into practice. Because really why we're here in confirmation is we want to receive confirmation, which gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to fight the good fight, to love God, obey His commandments, so that when we die, we're going to go to heaven. That's why we're here. The end goal is to get to heaven. And not only that, but we want to try to bring people to heaven. You ever read the letter of St. James who says, whoever brings back a sinner to the faith saves his own soul and expiates a multitude of sins. So you bring someone back to God, you're securing your own salvation. Maybe you got some relative or friend or cousin that has walked away from the church. Try to bring them back. And you're securing your own salvation. Some of you come from big families. You got cousins, you got relatives. Invite them back. Tell them to go to confession. It's never too late. Encourage them to start to pray. And you'll see that on your day of judgment, Jesus is going to say, well, you helped those 3 people to get back to church. You're going to go to heaven because you did that. Sometime in purgatory because, you know, you didn't die perfectly. You go to purgatory, you're eventually going to get to heaven. The purgatory is temporary. It's temporary. Okay, you got that, Robert? Okay, let's go back to our number 10. Okay, should This sacrament be administered only in the moments before death. It is fitting to receive the sacrament just prior to a serious operation. And as soon as there is danger of death from sickness or old age. Knowing to the sick may be repeated if during a person's illness the condition becomes more serious. Say, for example, I go to the house of your grandfather, I give him the anointing of the sick. 3 days later, it gets even worse, I could give him that sacrament again. So some sacraments you receive only once, baptism, confirmation, or holy orders. This sacrament can be repeated. Okay, what are the graces of the anointing of the sick? Many. Anointing of the sick imparts special graces on those who receive it. Among these graces are union of the sick person to the passion of Christ. Passion of Christ. For the sick person's own good and the good of the church. So Jesus suffered on the cross, you unite your suffering to his own suffering. Next. This sacrament also, it gives you strength, peace, and courage to endure in a Christian manner the sufferings of illness or old age. It's not always that easy to suffer. Suffering is tough. The sacrament helps you to suffer with greater patience. Next, forgiveness of sins. I mentioned that. Forgiveness of sins and penalty for sin. If the person is sorry for his sins and unable to receive the sacrament of penance. Restoration of sanctifying grace. If sorrow for mortal sin is present. Restoration of health, if it is good for the salvation of the person's soul. Preparation for passage to
heaven,
eternal life. Eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever. So either way, you're going to go to heaven or hell forever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends. Our life is temporal. Temporal, which means we're here a short time. But heaven, as well as hell, it's forever. It's always fascinated me, the whole concept of forever and ever and ever, no? Because even if you live to be 100 years old, in comparison with eternity, you're very short. 100 years seem to be, wow, that's a long time. But in comparison to forever and ever, it's very short. St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of an eye. You hear that? So our life in comparison to eternity is a mere blink of an eye. Nope. Blink of an eye. How short, huh? As the psalmist says in his poetic way, our life is like the flower of the field that raises its head in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down. Flower of the field. It raises its head in the morning, and as the sun burns, it dies, and withers and dies. Okay, finally, reduction or removal of all temporal punishment due to sin. Did you write that in there? Temporal, due to sin. When the ill person is properly disposed. Are sicknesses and sufferings evil? Yes, sickness and suffering are considered evils, but not in a moral sense. They're evil because they're both a privation of good, a consequence of original sin. How can we make our suffering fruitful? We can turn our pain into something positive by uniting it to the pain of Jesus, thereby making it salvific. So, you got a headache. You complain. That's useless. Got a headache? You offer it to God. That is so positive. So don't waste your suffering for the love of God, okay? Suffering either makes us better or bitter, okay? It either makes us better or bitter. Okay? You know what bitter means, no? Mejor o amargado, no? You're a bitter person. Yeah. Amargado, right? That's what it means, bitter. Huh? Okay, his pain. What happens when we imitate the crucified Christ and accept suffering for the good of others? His pain and death were suffered in penance for our sins. In the same way, we can unite our pain with Jesus' suffering, giving a new meaning to suffering in this life. By accepting suffering for the well-being of others, we imitate the loving Jesus who accepted suffering for our salvation. Okay, practical exercise for reflection. If someone receives anointing of the sick, is that there? Was that the last?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If someone receives anointing of the sick and then dies, does that mean that the sacrament didn't work? What does it mean? What good does the sacrament do if it doesn't heal a person? Okay, write down. No, God decided to take him. No, God decided to take him. Suppose someone were very ill and had only a few weeks left to live. Should this person be told of his condition? Why or why not? How could anointing of the sick help this person? Very well. Yes, he should be told that he's got a short time to live, so he can call a priest. Well said. Some people are afraid to tell their grandfather he's going to die, and the priest doesn't arrive, so he dies without receiving the sacraments. That's fatal.
Question.
Yes.
If the grandpa's going to die, can you give him a blessing before he dies?
Yeah, but it's better to give him the anointing of the sick. Huh? A blessing is fine, but the anointing of the sick is much... Actually, when I give the anointing of the sick, I'll give the blessing at the end of it, so you can receive both. Okay, next. Suppose a friend has a parent who is sick and probably going to die. Your friend says he doesn't believe in God anymore because his parent is suffering for no reason. What could you say to your friend? What is the source of suffering? Can suffering help a person in any way?
No.
You can say this. Jesus suffered on the cross, and he invites us to suffer at least a little bit. Okay? Jesus suffered on the cross, and he at least invites us to suffer a little bit. Obviously not like him, we can't do that. But at least a little bit. Hmm? Got a headache, you got a toothache, you got a stomachache, stop complaining. Offer it up. Don't waste it. Okay, go with a friend or group of friends to visit someone you know who is sick, or visit the grave site of someone who died. Grave parents. Do that and say a prayer for them. Okay. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast probed my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutan, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What It Means to Be a True Christian Man in Today's Society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's cincinnatimensconference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.